I wonder if anyone has ever found themselves in a really difficult position, in a place where they need saving, where they need someone to come and save them. Has anyone ever been, I thought maybe in a group this size, there might just be someone who's been kind of rescued, maybe like helicopter airlifted from somewhere, or found themselves stuck on the side of a cliff or anything like that? Anyone got any stories like that?
My grandma's been in a helicopter.
Your grandma's been in a helicopter? Cool, good stuff. Like proper, like airlifted, rescued from somewhere. Impressive. Yeah, I thought there might have been someone. Laura, you stuck your hand up. Excellent. Good work. So there we go. There's some people who've managed to get themselves stuck somewhere or other. I saw this on the news the other day. A man who was got himself stuck in a marsh and had to be rescued. And it was made the news partly because it was the first time the police have used a drone, or one of the first times the police have used a drone. 75-year-old Peter got stranded out, got lost from, separated from the group of people he'd been out walking with, and got stuck overnight, stuck in that marsh. I had to drink water from the marsh around him, stuck overnight. And the police found him the next day, and they used a drone to go and find him. And apparently, they reckoned it would have taken far, far longer. They probably wouldn't have been able to save him had they not been using that new technology and using a drone, because it was far too big an area to search. Search by land, and he was far too small to see searching by helicopter. So it's quite an impressive rescue. But a drone, of course, doesn't in any way compare to the way that Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego got rescued from this fiery furnace. We see Daniel chapter 3, this amazing miracle that God performs. If you've got one of the church Bibles and you want to open it to where it is in the Bible, you'll find it on page 887, Daniel chapter 3. And we see this kind of amazing miracle where God rescues them from this blazing, fiery furnace. But I don't know if I'm the only one that reads stories a bit like this sometimes. But when I read it, I kind of think to myself a little bit, could God not have stepped in a little bit earlier? You know, there's a few opportunities where the story could have taken a turn, a twist in a slightly different direction. I mean, we read in the story that they went there and, you know, they could have never got the message about having to go and bow down in front of the statue. You know, things get lost in the post all the time. You know, maybe they just never received the invite. You know, that could have happened. And then everyone bows down to it the first time, and Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego say
no,
and they don't bow down. And, you know, actually it seems like they don't really get noticed straight away. That you read in verse 8, at this time some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. And they come and they say, verse 12, there are some Jews whom you set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, who pay no attention to your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up. You know, these guys come and kind of pick them out, and they obviously somehow got away with hiding and not being noticed the first time around. And it's some other people who come along and kind of grass them up, basically, to the king, that they didn't do what they were ordered to do. Like, could God not have stopped that happening? That there wouldn't be these people there and wouldn't go forward to the king and stop that going on? And then, you know, there are not other ways to kind of get them out of it a little bit earlier, but they find themselves being thrown in to the fire. The story seems to go from bad to worse for them. And it seems like in the midst of this, God doesn't keep them out of the fire. But God actually comes and saves them in an amazing way. We see this kind of fourth man. The king sees this fourth man walking around in the fire. He throws three in the fire and he's going, I thought we threw three people into the fire. And suddenly he sees four people walking around in the fire. And it's one of those great kind of, there's lots of things in the Bible that kind of are in some ways mysteries to us, that we're not exactly sure who this fourth person is. It's a bit of a mystery. Some people think it must be, or it might be Jesus who was there walking around with them, or an angel of God. And it could well be, it's not a ridiculous thing to think that this is Jesus here walking with them in the fire. God didn't keep them out of the fire. Actually, what God did was he came and he met them in the middle of it. God didn't keep them out of the fire. He didn't rescue them earlier. He came and he saved them in the middle of it. I've been reading The Chronicles of Narnia with Caleb at bedtimes. And I don't know if people have read through the Narnia books or anything like that. You might be familiar with The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. Those are the famous ones with the films, and there's a few others. We're currently working through The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, one of the lesser known ones. But we're currently going through that. And there's this bit in it, and Lucy and Edmund, if you're familiar with the Narnia stories at all. Lucy and Edmund have gone back into Narnia, it's just the two of them. And they're going through this whole thing, going around on the ship, and they face all these kind of dangers and all these horrible things and all these really difficult things, and their boats nearly get sunk by a huge sea monster, and they get taken away, and they nearly get sold as slaves, and all kind of things happen to them. All these kind of crazy, ridiculous adventures that they're going through. And in the Narnia books, there's a lion, Aslan, and he kind of represents God throughout the whole story. He's a representation of God. That C.S. Lewis, who writes the book, uses for us. And he goes through the whole story, and we kind of only ever get kind of hints of Aslan along the way. There's kind of, there was a roar here, or they kind of thought they saw a lion somewhere over there, and there's only these kind of little hints as you go through. And then Lucy finds herself on this really scary island in this really scary house and having to go and read this really scary book, and she's going through it all. And she's looking for something that she's going to read that will make hidden things visible. And she reads this thing that makes hidden things visible, and suddenly Aslan is there. And she says to Aslan, Karna says to him, where have you been all this time? We've been going through all this stuff, and where were you? And he says, I've been here all the time. It's just you couldn't see me. I was there all the time. It's just you didn't see me. And it's a bit of what God does with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He was there all the time. And it's in the fire that he meets them. We've been asking people over the summer to send in photos that in some way represent trust. All through the summer, lots of what we're thinking about is trusting the King, is trusting Jesus. And we've asked people to send in things, photos or little stories or thoughts about trust. And we've had a few in. This is one that I had the other day. This was from the Morgan Dewars. Apparently the lesson of trust is that Seth, who is like 2 months old, is trusting that he will be given the right drink. I'd like to know the establishment that will serve you all of those drinks. But anyway, we've had some funny ones. Someone sent in this one as well. This was a Naturally Supernatural a little group went to. Saw a rainbow appear over the kind of main meeting tent one day that they were there. And one of the things, of course, about rainbows, this kind of great symbol to us and this reminder to us of God's promises. And I don't know if other people have experienced that kind of thing sometimes. I've known points in my life where things have maybe been really difficult, and there's this rainbow that suddenly appears, and it's this little reminder of God's promises. But of course, rainbows only appear when it's raining. Actually, they don't appear when it's all sunny and bright and clear. Actually, it's only when maybe the weather isn't quite the way we want it to be, when things are difficult, when it's raining, that actually we see that. And we see something, that reminder of God's promises. And we see how amazing God is in what he's able to do for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how he saves them completely. There was not even the hint of fire on them. Verse 27, the satraps and prefects and governors and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. God saved them completely. Now, of course, I doubt that any of us, particularly in this next week or so, are facing a fiery furnace or anything like that. It's probably not something that we feel that sense of needing to be saved from. But actually, all of us do need to be saved. We all need saving. The Bible says that all of us, a bit like Peter, have found ourselves stuck. That all of us have found ourselves trapped. That actually that's what sin, what the wrong things that we do, does to us. It's like it entangles us and ties us up and chains us and restricts us. That actually we're stuck in it. And that we need to be saved. The Bible says too that the consequences of those things that we do wrong, what we earn through those things that we do wrong, is death. That actually we all need to be saved. And we read that Jesus comes and he walks with us. But Jesus doesn't just walk through us and walk with us through the difficult things of life. Jesus came and he walked the earth. He walked our lives. And on the cross, he died our death. He did what he took the punishment that we deserved. And as we come and we share in communion a little bit later on, as we take bread and wine together, it was a time that we recognise that we all need saving. As we come and we share in communion, we come and we remember that all of us have done things that we shouldn't do. All of us have done wrong things. And there's a whole host of stuff that God wants us to do that we fail to do. That we've all fallen short of what God wants. And as we come and we share in communion, it's that time that we remember that Jesus died. That Jesus was willing to give his life. Like he went into the fiery furnace instead of us. that he took the punishment that we deserved so that we could be forgiven. And kind of, I remember driving somewhere a little while ago, and I saw, I was driving through a village, and I noticed on the sign outside the church, and it said, Holy Communion, Sundays at 10:30, or first Sunday of the month at 10:30. And I kind of thought to myself, that's like, as your church sign outside, the biggest thing you're saying, Holy Communion. I thought, well, that doesn't really mean much to people, does it, today? Holy Communion, big sign. I thought, that's you know, all well and good. But to most people today, you know, we have young people come in here at Year 6 and we talk about what communion is because they've got no idea about what it's about at all. And then I also thought, but what an amazing thing to say. Actually, what communion is communion is meeting with God. That actually what it says outside this church is come and meet with God on Sunday morning. Come and as we share together, we're going to meet with God. Just like Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego found themselves in the fire and found that God walked around with them in it. What we're saying is we come and we share in bread and in wine. As we come and take these things later on, what we're saying is actually we can come and we can meet with God as we remember what Jesus did on the cross. As we remember that he gave his body and that his blood was shed for us. Communion is coming and meeting with him. Like Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego met, walked with God in the fire. We remember that we've all been saved. We all can be saved by him. And we come and we meet with him together as we share